morning and welcome to The Conversation. There's a lot of joy permeating this place. It's day one of Challenge 2016, and it just feels different this time.
It does. It feels downright upbeat.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chris Van.
Downright upright.
Well, that's a good thing, too. Well, good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. But before we get to all that joyous good stuff that you'll be hearing as we move through this fun drive, we've got some good talking to do, too. Now, you know that journalists know that expectations of how they engage in their craft now, well, that's different from a decade ago. Multimedia expertise, often an irrelevance of borders, and the expansion of audience reach have simply changed the game. What hasn't changed so much, and what should, according to Stephen Ward, is the shape of global ethics. Stephen Ward is a media ethicist, journalist, and distinguished lecturer in ethics at the University of British Columbia. He's in Honolulu this week, and he's with us this morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Lovely to be here.
Now, once upon a time, and you know because you were in that once upon a time, journalists produced products for their towns, for their cities, maybe even for national consumption. Mm-hmm. But that changed so much that now we have to bring into a different frame of mind the words subjectivity and patriotism and nationalism. How does that play when you're talking about creating global media ethics when those words have such different meanings country to country?
There is, at the beginning, you can see it as a contradiction you can't get them together. But the way you have to get them together, you got to pick which is primary. Is your national, parochial, patriotic values in journalism the utmost? Is that the principles you will abide by? Or are you going to pick more universal principles of human rights, humanitarian care, and so on? My view is they're not always in conflict, but where they do conflict, I'm going to pick the universal values. I'm going to pick human rights. I'm going to pick promoting humanity and democracy around the world. That sounds all very idealistic, I know. But that's how you have to get it straight. Now, there will still be areas where there's conflict. For example, when I was a journalist in the old days, I was expected as a Canadian Wire reporter to promote the national interests of Canada and to support the military efforts in Bosnia and a variety of other places. And when I reported critically on that, I was called unpatriotic by more Canadians than any reporter in Canadian history. I got tongue-in-cheek there. So my view is, in fact, in a global world, maintaining or rising above that sort of narrow patriotism is really important.
How do you actually move into that space when in many countries that's what defines what a journalist should be doing? I mean, I can't imagine this happening in China.
No, I think that practically speaking, there are countries where this is really very difficult to do, and I'm very realistic about that. I think, however, whatever is as coalitions around the world of journalists, lawyers, academics, centers, even political pressure can try to ease the restrictions in those countries. That's about as best as we can go right now. We also need those universal principles, by the way, of journalism, if I can be so philosophical to call them that. We need them as a basis for criticizing what's happening, say, censorship in China, where I don't think the Panama Papers are going to get a big play, by the way. And if we don't have that larger focus on what journalism, from our perspective, should be, then how can we criticize anything else going on?
How do we get to those agreements about what those values should be in that context?
What we need to do is the academics like myself and former journalists can write theoretical things. We can write codes. We can write about principles, how they need to change. We can redefine objectivity, so on and so forth. But really, I think what we need to do is to bring practitioners together in global roundtables and global organizations where they themselves will redefine the guidelines. And that's happening. I mean, if you look at in London, there's an organization called Ethical Journalist Network. And in there, they are now calling for professionals, journalists around the world to write, and they have written, new guidelines for dealing with hate speech, which happens in many, many cases now, and they've just come up with a new one and using social media in terrorist situations like Brussels. So it's not impossible, but it's a slow movement, and it is. And I'm realistic enough to say it is in the face of many, many obstacles. One of them is we still live in a world divided by nations who see themselves as competitors, and in within those nations, a very partial world. Just look at our presidential election that's going on right now. It's America has got to be great, and we don't want to be kicked around anymore. Not a lot said about, well, what could America do for other countries?
That's part of the conversation that's also happening within the journalistic circles, too. In looking at how you create the place for journalists to do that, when you have lots of organizations that have produced their own codes, NPR has one, we've derived ours from it, many other public radio stations have done that too. How do those things start to, you know, compare with this, where you'd like journalists to get to right. in that space where they're all commenting and creating something that is more globally based than parochial?
Two areas. One, you've got to get leadership from the news organizations who are more likely to be interested in global ethics than other ones. I don't think, if I may say, the Fox News is going to be very much interested in my global principles. But I think NPR might be, and I think public broadcasters, because they tend to have this broader outlook on the world and mandate. I also think there are organizations like Wire Services, AP, Reuters, also would be interested in these things. And I think, also I don't want to exclude the non-professional online journalism that's going on right now. There are human rights organizations, there are NGOs, there are people just starting, like John Schaefer's Pulitzer Prize Center for Conflict Reporting, where in fact they're actually doing the sort of global journalism I'm talking about, but they're not mainstream. And the other aspect of that is we're going to have to change journalism education to a certain extent. Because there's no use preaching these codes at news organizations if the new generation of reporters coming through are not motivated, don't even care, or are not even aware of these global principles.
Is it also going to have to flow the other way, too? Because now you have a lot of young journalists who are functioning already in that space.
Yes.
And understanding that change has to happen for them to be able to do what they do.
Yeah. A lot, and I understand this, I used to run a journalism school, a lot of journalism education is give the student another tool for the proverbial toolkit. It's skill and advanced skills now. We have wonderful advanced skills, but, you know, we go on about that. Why aren't we using more? But we do have these advanced skills. Well, what we're missing is content, knowledge, cultural knowledge. You cannot report on global issues today, not very well, unless you know the institutions, all types of international agreements, different cultures, different traditions, different religions. If you don't know that, you don't have that cultural knowledge, then you're going to be bamboozled. You're going to be turned around by ideologues. You're going to believe people who say that immigrants only take jobs from other people and never help a country, stuff like that.
Stephen Ward, I wish we had so much more time to talk, but I'm grateful for the time that you were able to give us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Stephen Ward is a media ethicist, journalist, and distinguished lecturer in ethics at the University of British Columbia. He'll be speaking at noon today in the UH Manoa Campus Center Executive Dining Room. Details are on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.